hey, here's the main idea over the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to be looking at this whole idea of transition. And the reason I'm looking at it is for this simple statement that I think encapsulates where we're going. And it's simply this, is that transition, times of transition, are more than an intermission. Okay? We're going to unpack this a little bit. But transition is more than an intermission. Transition is actually a time of preparation, both personally and corporately. And we desire to transition well. We want to transition well as a church, as Dan just mentioned. But we also frequently go through transitions in life. And we need to transition well because it's more than just this pause, this intermission in life. Because transition is simply the process or the time when God is moving us from one state to the next. That's transition. In other words, and transition is how we deal with that change. And there's all kinds of transitions. You guys know this. I mean, there's transitions in relationship, right? From single to dating, from dating to engaged, from engaged to married, and for some people, from married back to single. There's transitions in employment, maybe moving from this role to the next role to the next role, or from your current company to the next company to the next job. Some transitions involve kids, from infant to toddler, toddler to school, school to teenage, teenager to college, and moving out, and in some cases, them moving back in later. With health transitions, there are transitions in churches where we move from one season to the next, from one pastor or leader to the next, like we're going to be going through as a church. Now, there are some people who enjoy transition. They seem to do it regularly. They seem to like it. And some of you are in that position. But for the vast majority of people, transitions, they're unsettling seasons. They don't particularly like it, even if they find themselves involved in transitions regularly. And people wonder, good grief, when is this all going to stop so I can just get some stability in my life and stay the same? Others even get exhausted when they think about change and transition. So what do we do? How do we make the most of transition either as a church or personally in our lives? Because transition is more than an intermission. Transition is more than an intermission. So there are transitions that we choose and some are thrust upon us. And how our success or failure is often determined by how we handle those. And so in the next 3 weeks, here's how we're going to do. I'm going to actually look at three different stories from Scripture. Each one's about transition. And hopefully when we put them all together, we tie them all together into this one package, it'll direct us in how we can best use our transition time as not an intermission. So this week, we're going to look at the most important consideration in transition. Next week, we're going to look at how do you keep what's important front and center. And then finally, we're going to look at some very practical action steps on the last Sunday in June. And that means we're basically looking at our spiritual, our emotional and mental, and physical parts of transition. Because transition is more than intermission. Now, the nation of Israel had faced numerous transitions. We've been talking about them a little bit here and there in recent weeks. But one of the most challenging transitions they had to face as a nation was when they transitioned from this group of people that were nomadically wandering the desert to people that were supposed to enter into this promised land and take possession of it and settle down. Massive transition. And most of you are familiar with the story. They'd been miraculously delivered from Egypt, and God led them through the desert for 40 years. And there'd been so many ups and downs in this journey. And now they stood on the shores of the Jordan River. They're ready to cross into what has been promised and what's been the goal the whole time. Huge transition. I mean, they were basically going to be going from being fed by manna from heaven every day to having to do all their own work to provide for themselves. They had to go from being a people that wandered and had to be ready to move in a second to a people who had to be settled. They had to become a nation who was expert at warfare, and that's not what they had been all about, something they'd only scratched the surface of. They had followed this cloud of fire and a pillar of fire and a cloud for 40 years, and now that was going to go away. They had to have other ways of following God. And the land itself was different and strange and new. Now, that sounds like the recipe for a crazy transition, but to make it even worse, the leader they had just followed for 40 years was not going to be with them in it. Here's what it says. Read in Deuteronomy. If you have your Bibles and you want to follow on, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31. Here's what he said. This is Moses talking, and he says, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. So they're standing on the edge of the river, ready to go in. They have this massive transition in front of them. Moses says, look, I'm not allowed to go with you. He had sinned, he had rebelled and done something in their wanderings. And God said, look, because of that, you're going to take the people to the edge. You're not going to take them in. And so the man who had been God's spokesperson, the one who God spoke to face to face, the man who interceded for the people, taught them, led them, helped them, he was not going to be with them in this time of unbelievable transition and uncertainty. The most critical position was also going to be in transition. And to make matters worse, Moses wasn't exactly an ordinary leader. Here's what it says about Moses. Take a look at this. This is what the description of Moses is. It says, since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all these signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. How would you like to follow that? I mean, what would you do with that kind of transition and change? Like, that's crazy. Every single thing they knew was going to change. And if you were in that whole multitude, the tens and hundreds of thousands of Israelites, and you're standing there and you're going into this period of transition, what would you be thinking? I'm sure there were some who were really excited. And they were like, oh, I'm totally ready to get into this. You know, we got to go. It's going to be fantastic. But I'll bet you that a lot of people were fearful, a little worried, maybe a little timid. Everything kind of like, and everything in between those two are in there. And they couldn't treat this transition like an intermission because they couldn't go back. They couldn't stay. They had to move. And so here's what happens. In his parting words to the people, Moses gives them the keys to transition and doing it well and not treating it like an intermission. And he tells them how they can successfully navigate the transition. And he could explain to them how they could make it so that the transition was not simply an intermission. So here, let's take a look at some of the, what he told them. He starts out by saying this. Let's go back. I'm now 120 years old. I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said you shall not cross the Jordan. But then he goes on and he says, I won't be with you, but the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, who he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you. You must do to them all I've commanded you to do. Be strong, be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Then Moses summoned Joshua, and he said to him in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous. For you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance, because the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. As I was reading through this, I thought, man, this is amazing, because this literally holds the keys to doing transition well, to not being like an intermission. And I see three things that come out of this. The first is this, is that in any transition, God is ahead of you. I don't know if you, the people of Israel had no idea what was coming on. They were faced with this transition. They didn't know how things were going to play out. And once again, you have to put yourself in the place of the Israelites. Because even though this was a new generation of people, and they had heard the story of how powerfully, they had heard the stories, how powerful the people in this land were. Like, it was the fear of all these people ahead of them in this land that had caused their parents to have to wander the desert because they were too scared to go in. And now you have this whole generation of people that have wandered the desert for 40 years, they'd experienced God's discipline in there, and they might have been wondering, like, how's this going to go? Like, are we going to be able to do this? Are we going to be able to conquer this? Or are we going to die? Is God going to punish us if we make a mistake? And in addition to all this, it was completely unknown. They didn't know what this land was like. They didn't have Google Maps. They didn't have drones. They didn't have reconnaissance. They were facing the unknown, and things could easily go worst case for them. What if it all falls apart? What if we die in battle? There was a really interesting study The reason this is so important to know that God goes before us is it was shown in this study. It was a study that came out, I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. And what they did is they did this study with electric shock on people. And here's what they did. They had a whole bunch of rocks laid out, and under the rocks would be pictures of snakes. And they had people wired up. And if they turned over a rock that had a snake under it, they would get an electric shock. And if they lifted one that didn't, everything was fine. And as they did the study, they had people wired up for stress and everything else. And here's what they found. They found that people were less stressed if they knew that the rock they were going to turn over had a snake under it and they were going to get an electric shock. They were less stressed than if they were uncertain and it was a 50-50 shot if it was going to happen or not. And it was a very fascinating study because as they explored this a little bit more, what they found was uncertainty about the future, and that's what transition is, it's uncertainty, is actually more stressful for people than actually knowing something bad is going to happen and dealing with it. Most of you know this. There's something worse about the uncertainty of knowing whether or not you have cancer than finally getting the diagnosis and saying, okay, now we got to deal with it. There's more stress in the uncertainty of, well, what's going to happen next? So think about it from the perspective of Hope Chapel. What's going to happen next? What's the new pastor going to be like? What's it going to do to our church? All this coronavirus stuff, is that going to change how we do things? What's it all going to look like? And all that uncertainty is more stressful than if we just had a problem we had to deal with it. Because during times of transition, the future often looks confusing and daunting because we see all the uncertainties. It's easier to get overwhelmed by all this, but listen to what Moses told the Israelites in the midst of this, okay? He says it twice in here. He says in verse 3, the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. And then a little bit later, he says it again, the Lord himself goes before you. And you have to understand what he's basically saying is, look, God's in this. He is ahead of you. Even though you don't know what's ahead, God does. Now, where we get bogged down, if you're like me, is we know that God knows the future, right? He's God. He knows everything that's going to happen. And we understand that. But Moses' statement is not one about knowledge. It's not just understanding that, okay, our God knows the future. It's not more than, it's this idea that Israel, you are not on your own. God not only knows what's going to happen, but he's going ahead of you and he's doing the hard work. I mean, God's in front of you. He's taking care of all the hardest things before you ever even get there. He's going to be the one who's going to drive out the nations. He's got the plan. He's not only sees your future, but he's in it. He's involved in it. And in our transition, God is ahead of us. He's already doing the hard work. But it's even better than that. Because God is not simply out in front, like, you know, like a minesweeper. He's not just walking out in front and making sure that all the dangers are taken care of and doing all the hard work so that we can now go through transition. Yes, he's ahead of us and he's doing all the hard work, but this is where we come to the second part, and it's simply this. God is not only ahead of us in transition, he's also with us in transition. God is ahead of us in transition, but he's also with us in the middle of transition. So Moses tells the people two things. I'm going to take a look at this. One, he's going to go ahead of us, right? Oh, by the way, you know, his presence is going to go with you. That's fine. But Israel, he's also going to be alongside you. And as I was studying this week, I kind of got stuck here because this is one of those things that if you've been in church for any length of time, and I see a lot of the names of you that are watching, you've all heard this 1,000 times. God is with you. You've read the verses. You've gone through this. It's something that followers of Jesus say. Jesus is with you. We learn it. We sing it. We teach it. What does that have to do with transitioning well in our church or in life? It's because transitions are times not only when we are uncertain about the future, and so it helps us to know that God's already there doing the hard work, but transitions are times where we feel a little discombobulated. We're a little... it's easy to feel isolated, easy to feel like we're alone. And when transition occurs in an organization, whether it's a company or in a church like Hope Chapel, those feelings of uncertainty and difference lead us to have a tendency to get passive and to get discouraged. I worked in the corporate world for many years before Hope Chapel, and I went through several periods of downsizing, you know, where the economy wasn't good and so the company had to lay a bunch of people off. I also went through acquisition where the company I was in either acquired or was acquired by another company. And all these are very tumultuous transitional times. And what often happened in the middle of those transitions was that people would tell you or would just say, keep your head down. Just do what you do. You don't want to be seen. You don't want to be noticed. Because if that happens, you could be in trouble. And yet, often those were the people that were cut or let go. But at the same time, there were people who had advocates, people who had a boss, people who had a manager who said, nah, we got to keep this person. They're good. They've got value. And you know, those people tended to get noticed. They tended to get promoted. They found places in the new organization and used well. So Moses is trying to tell the Israelites, he's saying, look, you don't have to fear transition because God is with you. He's advocating for you in the midst of this. He's in this for your good and for the good of the nation. There's a television series, an HBO series called Band of Brothers. It was released years ago. In one episode, the directors of the show, they did this masterful job of contrasting two different commanders. One, Commander Winters, he was loved by his men because he would fight alongside them. He would talk to them. He would listen to them. He would share the same situation they were in. He didn't get to be in a fancy place while they were in their foxholes. I mean, he was with them. He gave them directions and commands that they could trust. But then a new commander took over, Lieutenant Dyke, and he was despised by his men. And the reason he was despised by his men is because he was absent. He would prefer to be in a foxhole than be with his men. And he was always away. He was never there. He didn't talk. He didn't listen. And during this key assault, he froze up, and he began to get good people killed until he was relieved from command. See, what Moses wanted the Israelites to know is that God is actively in front of you, and he's with you at the same time. See, transition is more than intermission. There's something about having a person who is for you, who is looking out for you and challenge you while loving you all at the same time in the midst of transition that brings a great deal of comfort. What does that all mean? We've got God out in front of us because it's uncertain, but he's doing all the hard work. We got God with us because we have that presence and everything as we process. But what does that have to do with anything? Well, here's the third thing I see, and I think this is really, really important. And it's simply this. Transition is a season of movement. In his commands, Moses indicates why God's presence is so important. Let's take a look at it. This is what it says in that same chapter in verse 6 and verse 8. First of all, he says this. He says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. Okay? Don't be scared. Don't be terrified because your God is going with you. And then he says a little bit later, the Lord himself will go before you and be with you. What we've already said, before you and with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then he says, here's why this is important, Israel. So don't be afraid and do not be discouraged. See, the biggest challenge that was facing the Israelites in all this was fear that would cause them to shrink back, a fear that would cause them not to take chances, to play it safe. But God knew that the only way he could get them from where they were to where they needed to be was to have a plan that couldn't have them playing it safe and being passive. And his solution wasn't to say, hey, come on, guys, go do it. It was to remind them that he was in front of them, that he was with them, and to be bold and go do what he had to do. See, my friends, during any transition, whether it's with our church over these next 3, 6, 12 months, in your own life, in your job, one of our greatest temptations in transition is to push the pause button. And I'm telling you, it's the worst thing you can do in transition. Because transition is a time of preparation. It's a season of movement. It's not an intermission. And it doesn't mean, by the way, that you don't slow down, because sometimes in a transition, a person has to take a step back and maybe rest and regroup. But even then, it's a season of movement, even if it's just a movement in here, a movement to engage with God to find out what's going on. It might be a time to reevaluate, but it is not a time to check out. And most of you intuitively know this. Let's pretend you're going on vacation and you finish work on Friday, but you're not leaving on your vacation until Tuesday, the following Tuesday, so it's 3 days later. If you sit back on the couch and you think, I'm on vacation, and you watch TV and you eat for the next 3 days, and then Tuesday morning arrives and you have to get to the airport to leave on vacation, if you have done nothing, you will be utterly unprepared. You'll miss your flight. You'll forget things because you don't even know what's going to happen next on the vacation. You haven't taken the time to pack. Because here's the thing, just because you finished work on Friday doesn't mean that there aren't things happening between then and when you go on vacation to prepare. Because you got to pack, you got to stop the mail, you got to confirm reservations, all that kind of stuff. And so that little space in between is actually a time to prepare for what's next, which is actually better. That's transition. That's the picture of transition. It's a time between the last season and the next. It's a time to be engaged with God. It means fighting back on worry and discouragement or fear or apathy. Because it means that there's something ahead of you that's good. God's already there. He's already doing the hard work, and he's going to walk with you into it. But you have to be willing in it. See, transition and change can push you towards fear, but Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. Transition and change can get you down because things aren't what they used to be, and Jesus reminds you, don't worry. Don't be discouraged. I'm in this. Transition and change can actually lead you to step back, to focus on yourself, to say, you know what, I'm just going to wait and see how everything pans out. And Jesus reminds you and says, no, this is a season of movement. Don't fear it. Step into it. Transition is more than an intermission. My friends, in the months ahead, I urge you to seek the presence of God. Pray to him. Talk to him more. Listen to him. And know that he is fully engaged in our church transition. He's already calling the next leader. He's already doing all the hard work out there. He knows what you need. He knows what the church needs. He knows all that stuff. And so he's out there. He knows what our town needs. He knows how the kingdom is going to move forward. So he's already out there doing all the hard work. And in the midst of this, he's also with you. He's walking alongside of you. He's walking alongside of me. He's working for us. He's challenging our thoughts and our ideas. He might be opening the door to things that you've overlooked or ignored in your own heart and life. There might even be opportunities that you have been resisting that he's saying, okay, now's the time. Step up. So don't worry. Don't fear. Don't retreat. You have the presence of God with you and for you and ahead of you in every transition. So if you worry or fear or hang back, it actually says more about what you believe about God than anything else. So let's do transition well, because transition is more than an intermission. And if you treat it as simply an intermission, then you are doing a disservice to yourself, to the group of people around you, including Hope Chapel, and to God himself, whose presence goes ahead of you and with you. So ask yourself this question. How would someone who is like you act if they were totally confident that God was with them? I mean, think about that. What would you do? What would someone who's like you in your situation, facing your circumstances, with Hope personally, with Hope Chapel, anything, how would someone who's like you act if they were totally confident that God was with them? And then consider that maybe that's how I should act. So seek his presence. Act courageously. Why wouldn't you?